Do you find yourself focusing on what you can't do or what you shouldn't do? It's probably not working for you so good, is it? Well, we'll talk about an effective alternative today in this episode of Recovery Support with Kevin Bergen. This is Recovery Support, and I'm Kevin Bergen, licensed psychotherapist. This show is to support those in recovery from sexually compulsive behavior and to offer that support with education, inspiration, and motivation. Welcome to this week's episode. I just did a presentation to a support group of men, and the most common point that I heard in the feedback was how useful it was to focus on the positive. Now, I thought this was a rather basic concept, and it is. At the same time, I found that it was very helpful for these guys to hear it spelled out for a reminder, and that by focusing on this basic principle, it again reinforced a notion to make it a regular practice again. I'd like to start out again today with reading from the white book, The Problem, on page 203. Many of us felt inadequate, unworthy, alone, and afraid. Our insides never matched what we saw on the outsides of others. Early on, we came to feel disconnected from parents, from peers, from ourselves. We tuned out with fantasy and masturbation. We plugged in by drinking in the pictures, the images, and pursuing the objects of our fantasies. We lusted and wanted to be lusted after. We became true addicts. Sex with self, promiscuity, adultery, dependency relationships, and more fantasy. We got it through the eyes. We bought it. We sold it. We traded it. We gave it away. We were addicted to the intrigue, the tease, the forbidden. The only way we knew to be free of it was to do it. "Please connect with me and make me whole," we cried with outstretched arms. Lusting after the big fix, we gave away our power to others. This produced guilt, self-hatred, remorse, emptiness, and pain. And we were driven ever inward, away from reality, away from love, lost inside ourselves. Our habit made true intimacy impossible. We could never know real union with another because we were addicted to the unreal. We went for the chemistry, the connection that had the magic, because it bypassed intimacy and true union. Fantasy corrupted the real. Lust killed love. First addicts, then love cripples. We took from others to fill up what was lacking in ourselves. Conning ourselves time and again that the next one would save us, we were really losing our lives. Now, part of conning ourselves includes running. When we run from something, inevitably it becomes more scary. Can you remember what it was like when you were a kid? You'd go to bed, the lights went out, and then that closet was ajar, and it was really dark inside that closet, and that's where the monsters were. And it was so scary, you'd turn away from the closet so you weren't facing that direction, only to have the monsters come out of the closet. Now they were in the room with you. And so that got even scarier, and so you'd pull the covers up over your head, and all of a sudden the monsters were hovering right over your bed at that point. And it wasn't until you pulled back the covers, got up, turned the light on, looked into the closet, that the monsters didn't scare you anymore. They weren't there. If you run from something, it becomes more scary. What's the antidote? What's the alternative to running? It's to acknowledge. When you acknowledge something, it doesn't have to hold so much power over you anymore. Acknowledgement is a pretty short-lived behavior or activity. It is the antidote to running from something. For instance, if you get triggered and you want to look at pornography, the idea is acknowledge, sure, yes, I do want to look at pornography right now, and that would lose my sobriety for me, or it would cause me pain in the future, or I would have regret, and such like that. That's acknowledgement. The follow-on to acknowledgement is focusing. Once you acknowledge, then you turn and you focus on something else. And focusing on the positive, focusing on what you're going to do, is the name of the game today. One of my instructors in my graduate program told a story about when she walked into the living room and her grandson, who was about 2 years old that she had been watching, had climbed up onto the coffee table that had a glass surface. And he was standing there, having just learned to walk, let alone just learned to stand, and she was afraid of for his safety. And she, having been trained in hypnosis, knew to give him some kind of a post-hypnotic suggestion. In other words, she told him what to do instead of what not to do. Most of our instincts are to walk in and see something like that and say, "You're gonna fall, don't fall." And so instead, she said calmly, "You're going to carefully get down onto the floor and you're going to be safe." And so what that did, it put a picture in that little boy's head. He saw himself getting safely down instead of her putting a picture in his head of falling and hurting himself. It was very successful that way. So how can we do that? How can we focus on the positive? When we are driving down the road and we realize that we're going pretty darn fast, or we see an officer, we slow down. We tell ourselves, "I'm going to slow down here," instead of, "I'm going to get a ticket," or "I'm going to get in an accident." Instead of feeling like, "I shouldn't have this ice cream tonight," we say, "I'm going to take a walk," or "I'm going to call up a friend." Instead of the negative, "I'm not going to look at porn, I can't look at porn," we're going to give ourselves a positive message. If I choose to look at porn, it's going to give me these negative circumstances. Instead, I'm going to call up a friend, and I'm going to do something that is more productive. At some meetings, they give out sobriety chips. They're chips meetings, and for 30 days, 60 days, 6 months, different lengths of time, they recognize by giving a chip. There's a positive way and a negative way to look at this. I really like the idea of chips, of giving this recognition and being able to have something tangible. We all love ritual, and this is another opportunity for us to commemorate some length of sobriety. Now, the negative way of looking at this is, it's been 6 whole months since I've looked at pornography and masturbated. It's been 30 days since I've last masturbated. It's been a year since I've had sex outside my marriage. See, what we do, we're focusing there on what hasn't happened, what we've missed out on, and what is not there. So a positive way to look at this, we take a chip, we can say, "Wow, I've led a very different lifestyle for 6 whole weeks, and this is a way to acknowledge I really like this new lifestyle." Or, "There's positive things about living this new way that make a lot of difference for me. What am I grateful for? What am I grateful for in my sobriety? What's different? What do I like about this? What do I want to increase and do more of for another 6 months, or for another year, or for another 30 days?" That's a different and a more positive way to look at taking a chip. Now, in Sex Addicts Anonymous, is another 12-step fellowship for sexual recovery, they have a way of looking at our behavior that is called the circles, as they refer to it. And many of you may be already familiar with this. I'm going to explain this again today with a little bit different emphasis. First of all, take a piece of paper, if you can right now, and put a circle in the center of the paper. In this circle, I want you to write down the activities that, if you engaged in them, it would lose your sobriety. For instance, people will put down any sexual contact with another person outside your marriage. Somebody may put masturbation. Somebody may put looking at pornography. Whatever you are going to put in there, based on what your definition of sobriety is, that's what goes in that center circle. Now make another circle around that circle. We're going to call this the middle circle. The middle circle, or the one outside of that, are the things that you are careful about, or the things that you're going to avoid. Some people put in the middle circle things like looking at pornography, being on the computer when nobody else is around, could be cruising, could be going to parties where people are going to be acting out. So these are the things that if you are engaging in, you want to call your sponsor. These are the things that you're going to avoid, you're not going to engage in, but they're not going to lose your sobriety for you. They get your attention. They say, hey, wake up. This is getting dangerous. Now, on the outside of that circle, I want you to make another larger circle. This is your outer circle. This is what you want to focus on, because these are the healthy behaviors. These are behaviors like reading program literature. These are behaviors like calling your sponsor, calling other people in the program and getting support, calling other people in the program and giving support. These behaviors are things that keep you on track, the things that make you happy, make you healthy. They could include things like being with friends and family, socializing, could be rediscovering a hobby that you enjoyed at one time, could be volunteering your time for some cause that you believe in. These outer circle behaviors are healthy, good things that you want to fill up your time with. These are things that you didn't have time to engage in before because you were spending too much time acting out. You were doing things on your inner and your middle circles. Well, now you're not doing those. You've got time for the outer circle activities now, like going to church or praying. These things are healthy. Now, I want to give you an analogy, and if you consider all the different allergies that people have, you may have an allergy that you take regular medication for. I happen to have a hypoactive thyroid gland, and so I have to take a pill every morning for the rest of my life. Like clockwork, I don't even hardly think about it. It's just something that I do on a consistent basis because it's part of my life. It's medication for a condition that I have. People with hay fever take regular medication in the mornings or whenever so that they don't have to deal with the symptoms of their allergies. You have an allergy. You may be allergic to cruising down streets in certain parts of the neighborhood. You have an allergy. It may be that you're allergic to being online when nobody else is at home. Your allergy may be boredom. And maybe boredom is in your middle circle, and you can't stay bored. If you are, then you need to call your sponsor, call your therapist, call somebody else in program, get with somebody and do something. So if you have an allergy to these activities, you have an allergy that calls for regular medication. Your medication is in your outer circle. Your medication needs to be taken consistently. That prayer needs to happen every day. Going to meetings needs to happen consistently, either once a week. For some people, it's every day. For some people, it's twice a week. Look at focusing on that positive. Now, you can't not think about something. Let's do an experiment here. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But for the next 5 seconds, I want you to try this experiment with me. When I say go, you're going to not think about green monkeys. Go. Okay, how'd you do for 5 seconds? If you're like most people, you failed. Because if you formulated in your head a green monkey so that you would know what not to think about, you just thought about it. And so it's nearly impossible to not think about something. Let's try another experiment. Now I'd like you to, for the next 5 seconds, envision in your head orange elephants. Go. How'd you do with that? Usually, people are able to envision the shade of orange, whether it's bright or dull, on this wrinkled skin of these great big mammoth animals. Now, when you were thinking about the orange elephants, tell me where the green monkeys went. For most people, the green monkeys just went away. And your thoughts that you're trying to get rid of, you need to first acknowledge, oh, there's a green monkey. Huh, I've seen those before. And now I'm going to think about orange elephants. And I'm going to see them walking. I'm going to see them lumbering along. I'm going to see how the rain or the water they're in doesn't wash off the orange. See what I'm saying? You get in this mode so that the green monkeys just aren't taking place anymore. You're focusing on the positive. Instead of what not to think about, you're focusing on what you want to think about. And your outer circle is something that you think about. You put less effort on the inner circle and the middle circle. It's written down, you know about it, you know what your boundaries are, but now you focus on taking that consistent daily medication in your outer circle. For a lot of people, this makes a lot of difference. As you go about your regular day, focus and experiment on how you can make things positive. And by positive, I don't mean good, bad. I mean there or not there. You're going to focus on what you have. What are you grateful for? Focus on praying instead of focusing on not acting out. I hope this works well for you, and my experience is a lot of people find great success with this. We're going to finish today by reading again out of the White Book, The Solution, page 204. We saw that our problem was threefold: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Healing had to come about in all three. The crucial change in attitude began when we admitted we were powerless, that our habit had us whipped. We came to meetings and withdrew from our habit. For some, this meant no sex with themselves or others, including not getting into relationships. For others, it also meant drying out and not having sex with the spouse for a time to recover from lust. We discovered that we could stop, that not feeding the hunger didn't kill us, that sex was indeed optional. There was hope for freedom, and we began to feel alive. Encouraged to continue, we turned more and more away from our isolating obsession with sex and self, and turned to God and others. All this was scary. We couldn't see the path ahead, except that others had gone that way before. Each new step of surrender felt it would be off the edge into oblivion, but we took it. And instead of killing us, surrender was killing the obsession. We had stepped into the light, into a whole new way of life. The fellowship gave us monitoring and support to keep us from being overwhelmed, a safe haven where we could finally face ourselves. Instead of covering our feelings with compulsive sex, we began exposing the roots of our spiritual emptiness and hunger. The healing began. As we faced our defects and became willing to change, surrendering them broke the power they had over us. We began to be more comfortable with ourselves and others for the first time without our drug. Forgiving all who had injured us and without injuring others, we tried to right our own wrongs. At each amends, more of the dreadful load of guilt dropped from our shoulders until we could lift our heads, look the world in the eye, and stand free. We began practicing a positive sobriety, taking the actions of love to improve our relations with others. We were learning how to give, and the measure we gave was the measure we got back. We were finding that none of the substitutes had ever supplied. We were making the real connection. We were home. And I'd like to finish with the third step prayer. You can find that by Googling third step prayer or by looking on page 63 of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you know the prayer, please join me. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. You can email me with questions, feedback, and commentary at kbrecoverysupport@gmail.com. And this podcast does not promote any program or fellowship, and only informs about resources that I've found helpful to my clients. You can refer to the show notes at recoverysupport.podbean.com. Have a terrific week, and have a sober day.